Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Yeah, speaking of that, the only thing that was missing from that Nuggets win last night was that it was played in Dallas and not Ball Arena.
I get what you did there.
Double water!
Yeah. Jamal Murray, the Blue Arrow, found its mark. Shoot that Blue Arrow.
Straight through my groin.
Yeah. That poison arrow.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Back with a bang.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Good to be back.
Yesterday, your birthday. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Celebrated it as only you know how.
Yeah, that's, you are correct, sir.
Mark, you and I are about the same age.
Yes. Yeah. I would not have normally, I don't take my birthday off from work. My birthday's just another work day. Well, actually, I didn't take my birthday off from work.
You what?
I didn't take my birthday off. I didn't take work off.
No, you worked yesterday.
I worked yesterday. Yes. We like to call that shaking the moneymaker.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah. Unlike our producer, DeHuff, who'll take the whole week off for his birthday.
Birthday week. A beautiful day. A special day.
Yeah.
Certainly worthy of being celebrated for a full week.
But by the way, that is, yesterday was what, our sixth anniversary? We started our sixth year together?
That's right, on your birthday.
On my birthday.
That's right, 6 years.
That's right, 6 years we've been sitting in these chairs together. For you, from a longevity of run with one.
Oh, wow, with one partner?
With one partner.
Yeah, this is easily the most. Continuous. Sandy and I were kind of off and on.
Right.
We were off and on.
You guys were like a kind of a stormy romanced couple, right?
Right.
Bow chicka bow wow.
In and out,
right.
In and out.
A torrid affair.
Yes, exactly. Sandy.
But full of ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We were the Ross and Rachel of
Denver Radio. Uh-oh. Mike touched my pencil.
That's right. Yeah. We're the Sam and Diane of Denver Radio.
Diane.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, yeah, we're off to a good start. A little bit of snow in certain areas, so do be careful as you get out and about. So you must be just ecstatic about the news that Matthew Stafford is going to be traded.
I can't believe that you would go into that. You would go into a situation and, you know, maybe for Dan Campbell, you know that, hey, man, it buys me more time because I've got a built-in excuse. I don't have a quarterback. That roster has to be completely revamped. There's no question about that. But it's hard for me to believe that when you have what I consider to be an elite level player at that position, at the quarterback position, where everybody's trying to find it, that you're going to say as a franchise, hey, you know, we're going to go ahead and try to find something in a two quarterback draft at best? One sure.
I think a lot of people say three. They put Wilson from BYU in that group.
I couldn't. There's no, now again, have I really studied him? No. Absolutely not.
Are you not drawn to a guy who runs a wide open spread college offense
in
basically the Mountain West and WAC?
Yeah. No.
You're not drawn to that?
No. Will I study him before the draft, like, in depth? No. But Trey Lance, right? Depends on what you consider, like, in-depth study of a quarterback. You watch a couple video clips and look at some mock drafts? Oh, I'll do that. But I'm not gonna.
For some around here, that passes as serious draft prep.
Yeah. Well, I think there's legitimately a two quarterback draft here. Like two guys that you think might have the chance. Because I know there's not, five Hall of Famers in one draft class. And I know there's not, guys that are, should be second and third rounders will get elevated in the first round because that's how it works.
Right.
And that's just how it works. But I just find it hard to believe that that's going to be Detroit's plan. So wait a minute. We got the quarterback position right 12 years ago or whatever it was, but we've never gotten anything else on our team right. But now we're going to let go of that when we still have one of the worst rosters in football. I mean, legitimately one of the worst rosters in football.
I brought this up yesterday when Nate Jackson was saying it and said your belief that of all the teams you called over the last couple of years, Detroit's the worst roster you've seen bar none.
They're defensively there. Now they had some injuries, but even when they're completely healthy, they're one of the worst rosters I've watched. Yes.
You used a word that just jumped out at me in talking about Stafford. You said elite.
Uh-huh.
You think he's an elite quarterback?
I do. I really do.
Not good. Elite.
Elite.
Like top seven in this? Top seven? Top ten, I would
assume. Yeah, when it comes to pure talent in throwing the football, elite level thrower of the football, elite level toughness. And this guy is as tough as they come. So he's got all those things.
Want to hold on to it? You need something?
No. Here's the deal. When I talk to good coaching staffs, I talk to good quarterback coaching staffs, quarterback friendly people. Okay. Great coordinators, great head coaches. One of the things they try to do is they try to eliminate a portion of what's on the quarterback's plate. So we're going to drop back 35 times. Can we take 12 of those plays off your plate? 12 of those plays that are just no-brainers. A screen, a smoke, a bubble screen, a couple three-steppers. Can we take 12 of those things off your plate so you don't even have to think? So now we're down to you have to manage your offense for 23 plays, passing wise. Detroit comes into a game plan going, hey, 35 for 35, go get them. And I don't care who you are, man, when you are put in that position, it's going to be hard. You're going to get hit. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to throw some picks. You're not going to win. You're just not going to win consistently when that's the mantra. And when all you have is a quarterback, when that's all you have, you're not going to come in there and you're not going to win a lot of games.
Well, then that begs the question that I want you to answer. I assume then that you want the Broncos to go after Stafford, go hard after Stafford. You'll answer that question. And why the odds makers, the wise guys, like the Broncos' chances. We'll tell you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
We got the Morning Brew coming up at 6:30. Why, man, last night, the light better have gone on for our pal Michael Malone. We'll explain coming up at 6:30. I don't know, do you have to play it?
Yeah.
Are you required to play it?
I can't forget when I'm in love anymore.
That sounds so smooth. Yeah.
So you have said that Matthew Stafford is an elite quarterback.
Correct.
You have said that he has been held back for years by the lack of talent around him in Detroit, the dysfunction in Detroit. So I would assume you are all in on the Broncos going after him?
Oh, absolutely.
Give up the ninth pick?
Oh, without question. Here you go.
Thank you. Not even thinking twice. I wouldn't. No. I mean, that'd be easy.
How much further would you be willing to go to ensure you get him?
Throw in a player.
Yeah, I would.
An extra pick, first and a third, first and a second.
Yeah, nah, probably first and a third or first and a, you know, in a player.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hesitate.
Does he make you a playoff team with what they got right now?
No. But he gives you the opportunity to be relevant, and he gives you the opportunity to build to a playoff team. I mean, there is a lot. You know as well as I do that George Payton's got a lot of work to do to make this roster relevant. And we're talking about defensive backfield. We're talking about cornerbacks. We're talking about defensive line. We're talking about true three-down linebackers, which we don't have. There's a lot of things. You've got to make decisions on your safety, Justin Simmons. You got to make a decision on Von Miller. There are a lot of things that have to be decided upon. So, no, I don't think their roster is such that they're a playoff team. But they do have some young, talented pieces. I don't think there's any question about that. I still think they have to get better up front. They've got to solve the conundrum at right tackle. They got to make sure that in the second year that Kush is going to play, you know, that he is going to, he's going to grow and become a better player. There's a bit of me that wonders what happens if the league goes back to actually calling holding calls. Like, there's a bit of that has me, and listen, man, this is not just the Broncos. This is endemic of the entire league. There are a bunch of holding calls that they turn a blind eye to in this year's pandemic season. So
I gave you a couple numbers just to back that up.
Yeah.
The NFL this year had 575 fewer penalties from last year.
Uh-huh.
Over 4,500 fewer penalty yards than a year ago. And the biggest difference? Holding. The last 5 years previous to this year, there were 700 accepted holding calls per year over the last 5 years.
All right.
700.
Let me guess how many there were this year. I'm going to say 350.
450.
450.
Down dramatically.
Yeah, huge. That's a huge
dramatically.
Down.
So did Bolsey really improve? Or did he get a friendly whistle?
No, he definitely improved. But he definitely benefited off of, off the whistle. I mean, think about it. If things that were being called holding are not being called holding and you're living in that world now, and because if you're getting holding calls consistently, then it's in your head, you know, oh my God, I can't do this, I can't do that. You're not getting away with those things. So, you know, you can't help but play with more confidence because you're getting away with more stuff. This goes back to the Packers stuff. You know, the Packers fans so mad, so upset about, you know, the calls and everything else. As players, we're taught this is what's called, right? This is what you can get away with. So think about a baseball analogy. Maddux, who was one of the greats that we've ever watched, you know, he would paint the black, right? Just paint the black. Then he'd throw a ball outside the black. And if he got that strike call, then he'd throw it two balls outside the black. And then he'd get that strike call and he'd keep it two balls outside the black. And then all of a sudden he'd go three balls outside. No, that's a ball. So then he'd go right back to two balls outside the black to where the best you can do is foul it down the right baseline, you know, the first baseline. Now, you know, Packer fan would say, well, he's cheating. Yeah, no. If they're going to give that to you as a player, you're going to take it. We coach it. These are the things you can get away with. Make sure you use them to your benefit. And the Packers, you know, got worked that way against Tampa Bay, and it was a big factor in that game, and that to me is on you.
Boy, I get the appeal of going after Stafford. You just want to tap into offensively what's going on in this league because it's just there for the taking. I'll give you some more numbers. This was an all-time scoring season in the NFL. A record almost 50
combined points scored per game. Up a full 4 points per game from last year. That's a huge jump. NFL record in touchdowns. NFL record for total yards. NFL record for passer rating. NFL record for completion percentage. It just goes on and on. You have to, it is a crime if you're not tapping into that. So if you don't think that Drew Lock can make the jump in year three, and Matthew Stafford's out there, and you think he's elite, go for it, man. Go for it. Nothing should stop him. Plus, think about it. You got, if they don't go hard after Matthew Stafford, how much is it a statement when you know that you've got in Vic Fangio, a guy that's gone up against him twice a year for some time. George Payton's gone up against him twice a year for over a decade,
right,
just about the whole time that Stafford's been there. No two guys should know Matthew Stafford better than the Broncos brain trust.
Correct.
So if he is indeed everything you say he is, they know that. Go make the move. And by the way, the Vegas wise guys seem to agree with us. As they've got 12 teams listed with the best chances of landing Matthew Stafford. This is according to sportsbetting.com. And the Denver Broncos have the best odds.
3-1.
3-1.
Headed
followed
Indy, by the Colts.
Washington, Chicago, Dallas, New England, on and on.
Why do you suppose the Broncos have the best odds?
I think in part because of who their GM and coach are.
I do too. Meaning they understand the value of Matthew Stafford, and they'll be willing to go get Matthew Stafford.
You're giving a ringing endorsement. I mean, you're like, let's do it.
Dude, I've been calling games for the last 3-4 years. I've had my share of Detroit games. And let me just tell you, when it comes to throwing the ball, when it comes to toughness, when it comes to giving your team a chance to win, it's Matthew Stafford. And then it's your whole game plan is stop Matthew Stafford and we win because they're not very good anywhere else. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Now, they've got a few good players, like TJ Hawkins is a good player. Marvin Jones Jr. is a good player, really good player. Ragnow, the center, is a really good player. But I'm telling you, what he's been doing, the way he's been playing with what he's been given, and I know people go, well, he had Megatron. Yeah, he did. And again, I would tell you, show me the elite, the number one big time receiver that leads his team to victory without anything else around it. You can't.
Josh in Florida. Holding calls down from 700 to 450? That's just Bowles alone.
That's wrong, but it's kind of funny.
Thank you for talking some sense, Stink. So many people understating the historical dysfunction of the Lions. Stafford is at worst a top 12 quarterback in this league. We have no evidence that Lock can ever be that. One more. Good thing Bronco fans are delusional in thinking they're ever going to outgun Patrick Mahomes as Stafford gets older and Mahomes gets in his prime. Oh, this has got to be somebody that's like, you got to go get your young quarterback.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Go get Trey Lance.
Yes. He'll be the answer.
Go get Zach Wilson. Bet on greatness.
Yeah.
Got to find your guy for the next 20 years. All right, Morning Brew coming up. Was this MPJ? Was this my G and my J's confused?
Well, they sound the same.
Was this MPJ's breakout game? Morning Brew next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy.
This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
They came out very aggressive in that third quarter, which you knew they would after our first half. But I can't speak too much more in detail about it because I haven't seen the replay of it yet. So hopefully it's nothing more than Jamal being ejected tonight and we can use it as a learning experience.
Yeah. Well, when Michael Malone finally did see the highlight, he saw that the blue arrow flew true and struck its target. Tim Hardaway's nethers.
Yeah, what's the learning experience there? So you're telling me I can't grab somebody's onions.
Yeah, don't be selfish and get yourself thrown out of a game and perhaps cost your team a game. The good news is Michael Porter Jr. came to the rescue. The Nuggets were up 80-73 when that happened.
Uh-huh.
They then proceeded to get outscored 12-2, so now they're down.
Right.
And the rest of the way, all Michael Porter Jr. did was score 18 points. And
nice.
This just goes back to something that I've been saying since the bubble, since they started up in the bubble last spring. It's time.
Don't grab somebody's nuggets.
Well, that was part of the message. But the other thing was wear a mask and don't grab anybody's nuts.
Yeah. Don't grab. I mean, hence, like, how appropriate is it to be playing for the Nuggets? Yeah. I mean, that's your nugget
ball
grabber.
Arena. Yeah. So no, it's just enough. He just needs to. I know that Michael Porter Jr. drives Michael Malone crazy.
Yeah.
But you just got to play him. You got to play him heavy minutes. He represents your best chance, really your only chance, of getting back to the Western Conference Finals and beyond, unless the Nuggets are going to go out and make a big deal, which I don't think they're going to. So in order to have that third stud to go along with Jokic and Murray, to me, the only candidate possible is MPJ. And the only way you're going to get to that point is you got to play him. And you got to go through some of those games, those moments where he's just, you know, got you, you know, cursing under your breath.
Far be it from me to get sidetracked and not listen to a word you said about
MPJ.
That's
all right. I just said it. You go.
All right.
Yeah.
But what I'm thinking is this may be the perfect opportunity to finally dump the Blue Arrow nickname and come up with something more appropriate.
Such as?
You know, Nugget. All balls.
Right.
You know, something that's more appropriate for Jamal Murray.
Onions.
None of
that. Double order.
Oh, we got the Joker.
Double order.
The what? The Joker and.
So you're saying Jamal Murray needs a new nickname.
Yes.
In the wake of what happened last night.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll take your suggestions on the Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Next on the Morning Brew. All right, so in this case, this actually applies not only to Jeff Breidich's offseason, but also the start of baseball spring training, which looks like it may be pushed back a little bit. I was following yesterday, old buddy Les Shapiro.
Yes.
Long time.
Sure.
TV and radio star here in
town. He's out in Arizona now.
He's out in Arizona. Yeah. And he was tweeting yesterday that, what he's been told is that look for baseball to start up their camps around the start of April, start of the season May, early May, and play a slightly shortened schedule. Which is going to run right into problems with the players union. They want to play a full schedule this year after going shorter last year and their players making less money.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, you're kind of, I think you're kind of at the, you know, at the whims of this, what's going on in our country with the, pandemic and the, you know, in the vaccinations and everything else. So, I mean, aren't you going to have to give up some, there's got to be some give and take right there. And I know Major League Baseball lost a lot of money last year. I thought it went well. I thought they did a great job, just like baseball or just like football did a great job getting through this season. But, you know, money was lost and you're going to have to, you know, you both are going to have to take a little bit of a haircut. That's all right.
By the way, a former Rocky, another one that got away because of, I don't know why, Adam Ottavino was traded From the Yankees to the Red Sox.
To the Red Sox.
A rare Yankees-Red Sox swap.
I know.
Involving old friend Adam Ottavino. Next on the Morning Brew.
Lewis takes the snap. It's a pitch to Broussard. Headed to the left. Cuts toward the goal line. Spins. Extends. He's in. Touchdown, Colorado. Great play by Jarek Broussard. And his two-yard touchdown gets the Buffs on the board.
Well, how about this? How about this? CU is going to be playing Texas A&M next season, and it's been moved to Empower Field, which brings up the whole argument about, you know, remember the CU-CSU game?
Yeah.
You know, whether it should be played on campus and or whether it should be played downtown and, you know, all the arguments for, hey, play it on campus so that, you know, the businesses around the campuses can right. make all the money. I get all that. But man, oh man, when CU-CSU was really good,
uh-huh.
when you had Bradley Van Pelt,
right.
when you had Joel Klatt,
yeah.
and it was a event downtown, I mean, it was a showcase college football event showcasing the state of Colorado
mm-hmm.
for the nation, and it was great. So the idea of putting CU and Texas A&M down there at Mile High, I love it. I love it. I don't think there'll be some complaints up in Boulder, but I think it's a great idea. Showcase event.
I don't have a problem with it. But where's A&M playing now? They used to be Big 12, right? They left the Big 12. What, are they in the...
They're SEC.
SEC, right?
Yep.
I mean, come on, SEC. SEC football. Didn't Von Miller go to A&M?
He did.
Gary Kubiak? See... An A&M guy?
Yes, he is.
Are we going to get some A&M alumni on the sideline?
Oh, there'll be a lot. They'll, A&M travels well.
Yeah, I think that's
there'll
great.
Be a
I
lot
think it's great.
Of A&M fans there.
Yeah, I think it's great.
That'll be Saturday, September 11th.
All right.
This fall. All right. Next on the Morning Brew.
The big advantage is, you know, we stay in our own beds and sleep here and just do our normal routines. Nothing's out of the ordinary until we hit the media sessions next week. But everything else, just to be able to stay in your routine, sleep in your bed and all that stuff is I think, is a huge advantage.
All right, there's Bruce Arians as a Super Bowl prep unlike any we've ever seen. The teams will not be down there in Tampa. Well, Tampa right. will be down there, but you know what I mean. But the Chiefs won't come down until like a day or two before the game.
Yeah, they're going to sleep in their own beds too.
They will too.
How is that such an advantage?
Not a huge advantage.
No. But you guys get to sleep in your own beds. They get to sleep in their own beds. Saturday before the game, you go to a hotel. So I don't know that you got, yeah, I don't know that that's really, I'm going to have to text BA. Hey, point of order, BA.
Yeah.
Not really an advantage. They're going to be in their own beds too.
Uh-huh.
I texted with him after the game.
Yes.
Yeah, just congratulate. Yeah. I'm just happy for him. And he's, you know, there's certain guys you connect with and you click with when you do, you know, what I do, travel around and call games. And he's just one of those guys, man. He's just very honest, very blunt, and he's been a great connection for me.
Well, the big question is, I'm not surprised that you corresponded with BA after the game. What about your new best friend? Did you send out a shout to Tommy,
and you know, I just
ended I love Tom Brady.
Aaron, and just I mean, it was a really it was very conflicted at the Schlereth household,
wasn't?
Oh, well, yeah, because you know, me and Aaron are, I mean, we're
oh yeah, that's true. You're tight too.
Yeah,
you and Aaron,
me and Tommy,
you and Tommy.
People know me.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a struggle for you?
It was a bit.
Were you
know,
being tugged into
yes,
two directions?
Yes, yes. One guy would have to say, I'd be like, yes. Oh, sorry. You know, oh. So, yeah, it was hard. It was really an emotional. I was emotionally drained after the game.
You were emotionally drained. Okay.
Yes.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Are the Broncos prepared to take a run at Matthew Stafford? We'll ask our 9 News Bronco insider, Mike Kliss. He'll join us next. Let's say good morning to our 9 News Bronco Insider, Mike Kliss. He is presented by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Good morning, Mike.
What's going on, guys?
Well, you know, Mike, we are hashing out some Bronco stuff here in the Broncos. Some odds makers have come out. I've got this in my
hot little hand right here. Sportsbetting.com has the Broncos as the number one seed to land Matthew Stafford. What's the realistic chance of that happening?
Yeah, that's I saw that, and another one has them third behind the Colts and 49ers. All I know, guys, and I hate to speculate. I know it's that type of decision is a big one, obviously. And all I know is George Payton stayed behind from the Senior Bowl, and his coaches came in yesterday for the first time. They took a couple weeks off after the season, and they came back yesterday. And I imagine George Payton, you know, talked with all his coaches. And, on both sides of the ball. And what he wants to do this week is evaluate the entire roster. He wants to evaluate his own players first. That would include, what Pat Shurmur and Vic Fangio and, Mike Shula and Mike Munchak, who I think is also, pretty active in the overall decision making, from the coach's standpoint, what they think of Drew Lock, you know. And, you know, all those guys are not, you know, this isn't the Brandon Staley's of the world. And, you know, they're in their 50s, their mid-50s on up. And I'm guessing here now, just guessing. Those guys probably aren't all that crazy about waiting for Drew Lock to come on. So now, do you go after Stafford? If you do, I don't think you give up your first-round draft pick. Because Stafford, for all his wondrous talent, has not been a big winner. And in fact, he hasn't been a winner, period, in his 12 years with Detroit. Do you wait for Deshaun Watson? But Deshaun Watson, you wait and then you end up with nothing. And Deshaun Watson, is he coming here? Is he coming to the Denver Broncos when all the reports are he likes the Jets and Miami? So they're going to make that decision. I don't think, as of yesterday, they had decided yet whether or not to go forward with Matt Stafford. I do think they'll have that decision made by week's end, because I think the Lions want to start fielding trade offers this week.
With in regards to the Senior Bowl, are there plans for George Payton to add to the Broncos front office, add to the scouting staff, to bolster that part of the organization?
Yes, although what happens is all these guys are under contract through the draft. Those moves probably will not be made till after the draft. He may have a guy already in line. For instance, the big chair that's available is Matt Russell's position. And he may already have that guy in mind. He may already have a wink-wink deal. I wouldn't be surprised by that. But the guy that's going to come in there is likely will not come till after the draft.
What are they doing right now from a coaching standpoint? Coming in, getting together, like what's kind of the protocol? What are they doing as a coaching staff in conjunction with George Payton as the new leadership?
Yeah, I think they're probably putting scouting reports and recommendations on every player. Strengths, weaknesses. Maybe an overall grade. And then, you know, George sits down and reviews every player with each coach. And, so that's where they're at. You know, the young guy, definitely keep him. You know, this guy's a free agent, worth keeping for a certain number, not a big number, you know, those type of things. You go through and review every single player that they have right now. And that's what Payton mentioned that in his press conference a week ago. The most important thing for him is to try as best he can, being a new guy, is to evaluate his own players, because he thinks the biggest mistakes are made when you either let good players go or bring back guys that you probably should let go. So that's where he's really concentrating this week with his coaches.
Oh, shocking. I didn't know you need coaches to evaluate. I think you just do it with PFF. So, wow, that's that's big news.
Snark.
Good snark.
Yeah. Mark, big fan of Pro Football Focus.
Speaking of letting good players go somewhere else, it continues to sting, and it stung again this past Sunday, watching Shaq Barrett play the way that he's playing.
Boy.
Mike, can you go back to what the thought process was in deciding to move on from Shaq, and why didn't the Broncos, who should have known him best, why didn't they see this coming?
Yeah, first of all, you can see that, and with Shaq, and I watched him several times this year, and he did not have a good year. You know, he slumped compared to last year. You know, I think he had what 18 sacks last year. Wasn't nearly as productive this year, but he had the right matchup. Wagner couldn't block him. It kind of reminded me of Vaughn in the Super Bowl against Remmers in Carolina. It all came together for Vaughn at the right time, contract-wise. Remmers couldn't block him, and he ate him, and he ate up Cam Newton, and that's what Shaq enjoyed against the Packers. But the thought process going back there, guys, was they had Chubb, and they had Vaughn, and he was not going to start. He was not going to play. And so he wanted to become a starter. Now, they still could have brought Shaq back for $5 million. He signed for $4 million with Tampa Bay. What happened, he actually had a deal in place with the Bengals, and they didn't pass his physical. If you remember, he had hip problems. He dislocated his hip the year before, going into his final year with the Broncos. So there was real concern how Shaq would hold up physically, because that hip was really concerning. And, that's the thing, you know, with football players, guys, trying to evaluate, it's all a projection, which means there's a little bit of luck involved. And, in the Broncos case, it was bad luck because Shaq leaves and tears up the league, and Bradley Chubb goes down. And Shaq in his second year with Tampa Bay now tearing up the playoffs. And there's no Von Miller. In hindsight, Broncos should have never let Shaq Barrett go. But you had to make that call while he was the health risk at the time.
Well, there's been a lot of hindsight being 2020. a lot of Captain Hindsights out there over the last few months and years. All right, Mike, thank you very much.
Go get him, guys.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco Insider, presented by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Well, when it comes to attracting a Matthew Stafford or Deshaun Watson, Broncos need to make themselves attractive. What can they sell these elite quarterbacks on with the idea of coming to Denver? Our very own Scott DeHuff has put together a list, as only DeHuff can.
Oh, nice.
We'll share some of those with you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.